This is fun. This is a fun Sunday. And one thing that's really fun for me is I've got this captive audience of graduates right here. You cannot escape. You're right in front of me. I'm going to speak this morning partly to you, but also to all of us as we open up God's Word to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Last week as we began this journey, we get to see it's a letter from the Apostle Paul to a guy he's mentored named Timothy. And he's trying to strengthen Timothy. He wants him to be strong in his relationship with God. He wants him to stand firm, to be all that God's called him to be. And he reminds him right up front last week, as you guys can all relate to, that discipleship happens in relationships. And for Timothy, he had a mom and a grandmother who passed their faith right into his life. And then Paul as well was doing that. And you could probably all name some people, if I asked you to, who've invested in you, who imparted a faith in you. And Paul's like, remember that. Don't forget that. Remember that investment that's been placed in you, because that faith needs to be strong. Discipleship happens in relationships. So don't forget that. Go off to the next phase of life and think you're on your own. It won't work very well. Discipleship happens in relationships. And today, we come to this next step of what this is all about. And I want you today not only to just be strong in your faith, but I want you to be completely unashamed of Jesus Christ. Unashamed of the gospel. Unashamed that you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen in to verses 6 through 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet, this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Father, as we open this passage of Scripture in your Word, I ask you to teach us and show us how we can be unashamed, how we can stand for Christ no matter what. Fill us with power and love and a sound mind today. In Jesus' name, amen. In the next thing that you do, will you stand for Christ? I'm actually going to look for some nods of heads when I ask that. Will you stand for Christ unashamed? It will get hard to do. Just the world is where we live in our country. There is growing hostility toward Christianity. Yesterday, I checked Twitter and I noticed a tweet from Planned Parenthood New York City that called "Focus on the Family" a hate group. They're trying to get everybody rallied up against this hate group, "Focus on the Family." And I'm like, what? This is the group, since I was a kid, that teaches us how to love our wives and kids, right? But they're called a hate group. You know why? Because they showed an ultrasound of a baby in the womb and said, that's a baby. And there's hostility to that. Why would there be hostility to that? That's crazy. And yet, we're in this culture where there are pockets of growing hostility toward Christianity. It's going to be harder in the future than it has been in the past to say, I'm with Jesus Christ without shame or fear. Are you ready for that? It's going to be tough. We need to be prepared to stand up for Christ unashamed. And I'm really glad we have this passage today in 2 Timothy, because it's exactly what Paul is talking about. Paul had a lot of reasons he could have been ashamed of the cross of Christ. He could have been ashamed of trying to preach the gospel but getting harassed and thrown out of town after town after town. He could have been ashamed of the many times he kept getting beat up. I imagine he was not a real attractive guy. I mean, how many times can you get beat up and stoned and still have a, you know, he was ashamed. He bore the scars of his ministry. He could have been ashamed of that. He could have been ashamed of the fact that he's been arrested and he was found guilty of crimes against, I don't even know what the crimes were. He was just preaching Christ. But that violated his culture. He could have been ashamed that he was currently in a dark, lonely prison awaiting his death penalty. But he tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of me, a prisoner, because of Christ. And he gives him three reasons, three powerful reasons why we can be unashamed of Christ. And the first reason is this. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be ashamed because we have the Holy Spirit within us. He said, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands, for the Holy Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound discipline. There's self-discipline. It can be translated self-discipline, self-control, or a sound mind. Paul was probably there with Timothy as the Holy Spirit is poured out in each new area in the book of Acts as it's going out into all the world. And he got to see there and be there. And just like you had someone laying their hands on you, he had his hands laid on Timothy. And he knew exactly what had been invested in him. He says, remember the Holy Spirit. Repeat these words after me. No fear, but power, love, self-control. That's the Holy Spirit in you. That's what he gives. We've all encountered situations where we're tempted to be afraid. I don't really get afraid of people, like someone's going to harm me the way it was happening with Paul, and probably Timothy was susceptible to. But I get afraid of more internal things, like, what if I look stupid? What if I mess up my words? What if I get rejected? What if I show up in this place and there's people there and I can't break through and make any friends, right? The introvert things, right? Some of you can relate to that. But I have some fears like that. And when I do, I've actually done a pretty good job of reminding myself when I experience any kind of fear, that's not from God. God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's awesome. I can go into any situation with my faith and not worry about my fears. I can remind myself who I have residing in me. The spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. And so Paul tells Timothy, fan that into flame. Fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. In another book, he wrote to the Thessalonian church, don't quench the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to quench? If you're going to quench something, what are you doing? You're putting out a fire, right? Oh my gosh, it's on fire. And you're going to douse that. You're going to put water on that, throw a blanket on it. Don't quench the Holy Spirit's fire. Rather, fan that into flame. I was thinking about, it's the time of the year. I noticed some last night where people are starting to have fires, that you can come around. I have discovered over and over and over again that I am absolutely terrible at making and keeping a fire burning. I'm really bad at it. My wife's really good at it. She grew up with a fireplace in the house. I just can't figure it out. I was sitting around a campfire last fall. Andrew, you were there. Remember Jason Kindred's house? And we've got this little fire going, and he's sitting on his little lawn chair just hanging out. Fire's kind of dying down. It's getting kind of dark. Remember, he pulls out from behind his chair an electric leaf blower. I'd never seen this before. He just kind of shoves the end right in there and hits the button. That was awesome. I'm like, that's a great idea. I'm down there going, trying not to burn my eyebrows off. He knew how to fan into flame the campfire, and we all enjoyed it. As we think about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we've got to figure out how can we fan our relationship with the Holy Spirit into flame instead of allow that to get put out. I was thinking of some ideas. Pray came to mind over and over again. When I'm praying, I talk to Him. Read the Bible prayerfully. Don't just read a chapter, but read it going, okay, Lord, what does that mean? Talk to the author about it while you read it. And fan into flame the Spirit's power within you. Pray with other people and study the Bible with other people, because the same Holy Spirit that is living in me is also living in the people around you. And when you pray and talk about that, God will reveal that to you. That happened just yesterday. I'm in a group of men, and we'd had this assignment to do some work. Find a Bible verse that would pertain to each guy in the group and bring that. And we'll share all those. So this is cool. First guy, we're going to share verses with this guy. So one of us said, well, this is a verse God really impressed on me. I prayed about it. What verse does this guy need? Here's the verse. It was kind of obscure, but really fit. Then the next guy goes, that's funny. Because I prayed, what verse does this guy need? And look at this. I have the exact same verse. That didn't happen once. That happened over and over and over and over and over again around our table. That's because each guy has within him the same Spirit. And we're talking to the same Spirit about the same person. What verse does he need? He's saying the same things. That's cool. That's cool. And that fans into flame the gift of God. I would really encourage you to memorize 2 Timothy 1:7. This verse right here, the second verse on the screen. I memorized a different version of it when I was young. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That's the one I memorized. And man, that comes up, and God uses that in me to strengthen me so that I am unashamed of Christ and His gospel. Memorize that verse. Write that down. That will really help you. Paul gives Timothy a second reason why he can be unashamed as he follows Christ into a difficult world. And it was because we grow holy as we suffer. Being a follower of Christ in a difficult world will bring some suffering. But we grow holy. Listen to what he says. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to what? A holy life. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. What does God call us to? A holy life. Does God call us to a happy life? Maybe. I mean, that would be nice. Has God called us to always having financial security? That would be nice. Has God called us to always being surrounded by faithful friends and loving family? That would be nice. Those kind of sound like things we'll be assured of in heaven. But in this earth, he's called us to a holy life. If we pursue those things that he's going to give us in heaven, now, instead of pursuing holiness, we might actually not have the life that he's calling us to. We might miss something. God will give us grace as we pursue a holy life. That means we have to be able to embrace suffering as it comes. Jesus did. He walked to the cross. Each step of the way was a step of suffering. He embraced it, and he won the victory. I like running analogies. I probably like running analogies more than I like actually running. So just know that. But one thing I've learned with running, distance running, is that if you have two generally kind of equal people that are running together, the winner is going to be the one who embraces suffering. It's true. It's true. Running's not supposed to always feel good. It's supposed to kind of be hard. The one who accepts that and says, this is kind of hard, it kind of hurts, I'm okay with that, bring it on, and who can embrace more pain is going to do better, is going to win. There's some parallels to that with us. Life is hard. If you fight it and avoid everything that's hard, you may not accomplish your goal of growing in holiness. It's almost as if God signs us up for a class. I'm signing you up. You have to take this class. The goal of the class is grow in holiness. But the projects in the class are literally a real pain. You're going to suffer. It's going to be hard. You're going to really struggle. You know what I'm talking about? And so you take this class. You go through an experience in life or a phase of life. And if you go through it, avoiding all the suffering at all cost, I don't want to feel that. That hurts. I'm going to avoid that. Then you're never going to accomplish the goal of the class. And if you fail the class, you have to take it again. How many of you have repeated a class because you didn't embrace the suffering to grow in holiness? I've repeated classes too many times. I don't like doing it. I want to learn, and I want to, when I'm in a situation, God didn't call us just to suffer. He called us to grow in holiness. So whenever life gets hard, I want to look at Christ, embrace him, and say, what do I have to learn? How can I grow? Holiness just means that I'm becoming separated from the world so that I'm set apart for God and for his purposes. Suffering is the fire that burns off those ropes that tie us to the world. We're bound to this world in so many ways. Our desires, our habits, our past. Suffering burns up those bonds, those ties, and frees us for Christ. Suffering is okay if we embrace it to grow in holiness. Don't be ashamed. Paul's like, Jesus suffered. Paul suffered, was suffering. Join with that. So let's see what we can learn together. And finally, Paul says we can be unashamed of the gospel, unashamed of Christ, when we remember that we carry really good news with us. He says, it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame. because I know whom I believed. I'm convinced that He's able to guard what I've entrusted to Him until that day. Imagine if each one of us, as we left today, were handed a little pill bottle, 100 pills in each one, and each pill, if it was given to someone with cancer, would cure the cancer. Doesn't matter what kind of cancer it is, how far along it is, one pill, boom, cured. That's crazy. Can you imagine that? And so we're each given a bottle with 100 pills. What would you do with it? Right? First of all, we go to the people we know, who we love deeply, who are struggling with cancer. We want them to take one of these. Take this right now, quick. Then we'd want to go find other people, right? Go maybe to a cancer center or go somewhere else and just help cure people. But I think if we held on to that for a while and thought about it, we'd start to realize, you know what? If I pull this out and try to convince someone, all you have to do is take one pill, and all your cancer will be cured. They're going to laugh at that. That's dumb. They're going to say that's not that easy. It doesn't work that way. I'm going to be laughed at. I'm going to be rejected, and fear might begin to creep in and cause us to take that little pill bottle and just tuck it away. That's exactly really the situation that we're in. As followers of Christ, we bear with us incredibly powerful news that does actually way more than just cure cancer. It cures sin and all of the effects of sin and can give someone not just an extension on life, but eternal life. We don't carry it in a pill bottle, we carry the words in our mouth. And all we have to do is let them know that Christ died for you. By faith, you can trust in Him and He'll forgive you for your sins. Bam! It's actually fairly easy. Jesus has already done the hard work. And yet, we pull back a little bit and say, but they might laugh at me. They might think, well, it's not that easy. They might not accept my message. And we're tempted to be ashamed. Remember that you carry incredibly good news. No matter what anybody says, you carry incredibly good news that the world desperately needs to hear. I was reminded of when we studied this passage last year, and Mike Sieg was in the group, and Mike says, hey, that's kind of like went back in the Civil War or Revolutionary War, the guy on the battlefield that carried the flag. That's kind of what it's like to carry the banner of Christ. And I thought, that's such a good picture, because do you want to be that guy? I mean, who's the enemy going to shoot at of all the soldiers on the battlefield? Right? They get to carry guns, by the way, and you're carrying a flag. Real powerful weapon there. They get to wear camo, and you're carrying colors over your head. You're probably going to get shot at first. You're going to be more vulnerable. You're going to be in danger, and yet you get the biggest honor on the battlefield to carry the flag, to represent your country, to rally the troops. As followers of Christ, wave the banner of Jesus wherever you go. Will it make you a target sometimes? Yeah, probably. The Bible's full of people who made themselves targets because they stood with Christ. And we will too. But we get to wave the banner of Jesus, the banner of good hope, the banner of life, of forgiveness. We get to point people to Christ. I want to close this morning by reading the last words written by a pastor in Africa. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. And no one is exactly sure who this person was, but they're pretty sure that he was either from Zimbabwe or Rwanda, maybe 30 years ago. There was a lot of hostility In Africa, if you're not familiar, a lot of times a Muslim group or an invading group will come into your territory and just wipe out anybody who doesn't agree. And Christians are vulnerable. In fact, I have some Christian friends in Ivory Coast area. There's some persecution coming in. They're nervous. And as it was happening with this guy, he had to make a decision. I'll either hide the fact that I'm with Christ and probably live, or I'll stand up for Christ and probably be killed when the armies come in the next day. So when the armies came in, he stood up, he proclaimed Christ, and he was killed. And then they went in and they found this letter on his bed that he had written the night before. And it's kind of cool. I'm going to read it to you. The Fellowship of the Unashamed. I am part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. The past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith. Lean in on His presence. Walk by patience. I'm uplifted by prayer and labor by power. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. Hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, pander at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go until He comes. I'll give till I drop, preach till all know, and work until He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He'll have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. That is the way to live, folks. To embrace Christ unashamed, filled with His Holy Spirit power, clear about our mission. So I'm going to pray for all of us today, and then I'll let you know that I printed some copies of these. They're on tables when we stop over there for lunch. If you want to just put one in your Bible as an encouragement to you as you go, you can certainly do that as well. I'm going to pray, and then we'll take up the offering after I pray. Father, thank You for Your powerful word. Thank You that we get to kind of look in on Paul mentoring Timothy and learn so much from it, be strengthened by it. Father, I pray that each one of us would have one Paul and two Timothys, one person up ahead of us, two people behind who we can help, and continue to have that perspective so we can multiply our faith. Lord, thank You for these graduates. I pray as they go to get the meal ready that You would bless them and strengthen them and help all of us to continue to wave the banner of Jesus proudly and unashamed. In Jesus' powerful name I pray. Amen.